daf is daf Yud Dalet. So we got to the last two lines of Yud Gimel Rebez. The Gemara just introduced the 18 different gezeros that were established while in the Aliyah, Aliyas Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Garum. So these are all having to do with Tumah v'Tara. So it's a little bit challenging, and which makes it even more challenging because they are Dinei Derabanan. And part of the assumption of the Gemara is that we know about the Dinei Deraisa of Tumah v'Tara, which is often not the case. So we'll go through it slowly, hopefully. Whenever we encounter Tumah v'Tara, it's always important just to realize that we're not going to fully grasp it just because they're new concepts and they're foreign to us, but it's always good to get exposure to it. And over time and seeing it again in different places, it helps really ingrain it in the mind. Let's take the last two lines now, again, of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the one who holds? Ha'ochel ochel rishon, the one who eats ochel food, that's one level tumah. We know that there are different levels of tumah. There's ava tumah, such as asheretz and nevela, which are the sources of tumah. Tumas meis is a little bit different. And then the one level off is called rishon, and the next level off is called sheni. So ha'ochel ochel rishon, one who eats food that's rishon l'tumah, and the ha'ochel ochel sheni, one who also eats tameh food that's a second level, u'mifsa pasle. So now that person who ate the Rishon or Sheni, he, if he goes ahead and touches Chuma, he passes the Chuma, but Tumuye lo Metame. He's not able to be Metame. So the difference between Psul and Tame is, when you're Metame something, not only do you disqualify that next object, but that object also has the potency to be Metame something else as well. Psul means it's the end of the line, where you're able to disqualify what you're touching, but that item can in turn be metame something else. So when you're metame something, you're metame whereby that next item could metame something else, and psul means you just disqualify the next object, but that next object, that's where the end line, the line ends, it doesn't metame the next thing. So who's the one who holds that one who eats rishon or one who eats sheni is that individual, after eating the tumah, he passes tumah if he touches it, but he can't be metame. Who is it? So the Gemara says that it's Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, it's Rabbi Yoshua. Who's Rabbi Yeshua? So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Maseches Taros, the Tanan. This machlok is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Eliezer holds Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon, Rishon, one who eats that which is Rishon Lotuma, he himself becomes Rishon Lotuma. If he eats Ochel Ochel Sheni, then he becomes Sheni. He is what he eats. You are what you eat. So he becomes whatever the status of the food is, that's what the individual becomes. And Ochel Shlishi, Shlishi. So whatever the item is, whatever level Tumah, he became that same exact item. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon Ve'ochel Sheni, he's a Sheni. Whether he's eating food that's Tameh on a Rishon level, or even eating something that's on the Sheni level, both instances, he becomes a Sheni. V'shlishi, if he eats a Shlishi, he becomes a Sheni only l'gabi l'kodesh, which is Kachim, but v'ein Sheni l'chuma. So when it comes to, this is a reference to the Mishnah, the end of Chagiga, there's certain types of items which there are stronger levels of its sensitivity to becoming Tameh. So Kodesh is of the highest levels. So sometimes if you could be a Shlishi, you have the ability to be Metame Kodesh, but you don't have the ability to be Metame Chuma. So, and then finally the line, and the Mishnah concludes and says, Bechulin Shenasu Ataras Chuma, and it's referring to what type of Chulin we're talking about here. We're talking about Chulin, that people would treat Chulin, even though it was only Chulin, Chulin doesn't really have the Tuma, they would oftentimes treat Chulin as if it was Chuma, and that could become, that would become Tame if a person touches it. Without getting into all the details, what's clear from here, Rabbi Yeshua is the author of our Gemara, of the Gezeira, that Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon and Ochel Sheni, both instances, the person himself becomes a Sheni, and then has the ability to pasul Chuma, but doesn't have the ability to be Metame Chuma. Next thing, the Gemara says, now Ochel Ochel Rishon, Ochel Ochel Sheni, see, after establishing who authored it, the Gemara now wants to understand the reason behind such a Gezeira. So Ochel Ochel Rishon and Ochel Ochel Sheni, my time, Magazur Behe Rabbanan Tuma, why did they institute the Rabbanan? Because normally the way it works is that, this is a very important yesod in Tumah v'Tara, that a person could only become Tameh from really touching Ava Tumah, mace and sheret and nevela. A person doesn't become Tameh from touching a Rishon of food. It doesn't work like that. So how come they instituted a gezerah that a person, when he even eats food, he becomes tameh? So my time a gazu bei rabbanim tuma. So the Gemara explained because the zimnin the ochel ochlin tameim v'shaka mashkim de chuma. V'shadei lepumei upasalo. They're concerned that sometimes a person might go ahead and eat food that's tameh, and while he's eating the food that's tameh, he might drink truma that's tahor, and in doing so, when he puts the tameh food in his mouth, at the same time, when he drinks the truma, so then he's going to disqualify the truma that's in his mouth. So therefore, they said if a person's eating, if he's eating ochel, the food that's tameh, he's not allowed to eat truma at all, lest he come to put truma in his mouth. So even normally, a person who eats food that's tameh, he's not really tameh, and he can really touch truma because he's not tameh enough, but the concern that he might put drinks of truma in his mouth at the same time, and the truma will become tameh from the tameh food that's in the mouth, that could be. So therefore, they made such a gzera. That's the understanding. That's the motivation. So then the Gemara says, another gzera we had is that shose mashkim tmeim. So the din they said, a person who drinks tameh foods, that was one of the other gzeras, we had said a person who shose mashkim tmeim, that's also, he's also a metame chuma. So what's the reason here? So shose mashkim tmeim, if the guy is drinking drinks that are tameh, he's now able to be pasal, he could pasal chuma. So my time of gozubir abanan tumah. Why did they say there's tumah here in this case, when he drank that which is tameh? Midraisa, a person who drinks tameh drinks, is not metameh. How come they said he is metameh truma now? So the Gemara explains, because same idea. The zimnin deshase mashkin tumem. Sometimes he's going to drink tameh drinks. Vishakal ochlin betruma. And while he's going to be drinking the tameh drink, he's going to put some food in his mouth of truma that's tahor. Vishadi lepume, put it into his mouth. Upasi lehu. And while the truma food in his mouth touches the mashkim tamayim in his mouth, they're going to metame each other. Therefore, there goes there. Whenever a person drinks tame water, tame drinks, he's going to be able to be pasal, he will pasal chuma in order to avoid this from happening. So the Gemara says, Hainu hach, that's the same exact thing. What's the difference whether the tame, the food is tame, whether the drink is tame? Either way, it's just a concern that he's going to put tame something in his mouth and chuma into his mouth, and they'll mix each other. One solid, one liquid. Why if that's two separate gezeras? And the Gemara says, Mal de Sema, what would you have thought? Ha shchichi v'halo shchichi. One is common, one is not common. Hard to really understand this, and all the Rishonim are attack Rashi, but I don't want to deal with it right now because I really want to focus on this Pasha Pshat of the Gemara. But if you look at Rashi, ha shchichi, Rashi says around a little bit more than halfway down the narrow lines here, ha shchichi she'adam shose imachilaso, v'halo shchichi she'ochel imshtiaso. So Rashi says it's common that a person drinks what he eats, but it's not common that a person eats what he drinks. So what Rashi is trying to say here, I believe, is that why is a person koveya himself? If a person's koveya himself to eat a meal, so it's very likely when a person eats a meal, so then he's going to put some drinks in as well. So that's why they made the gzera when he's eating truma, rather when he's eating tame foods, they made a gzera, he's going to pasal truma. But when a person's koveya himself to drink some water, to drink some wine, to drink some orange juice, that most people don't, when they sit down to drink, they're not also going to get some food at the table. And that's why maybe there's a havamina, a person's drinking mashkim tameim, it shouldn't be, there's no need for gzera, that he's tamei for a chuma. Kamashulan, we're concerned nonetheless that in both instances, regardless of what his intention is, his main intention, whether it's to eat or whether it's to drink, there goes across the board, whenever he either whether he eats or whether he drinks tameh, he is going to pasal chum. Okay, next gzer. The Gemara says, Haba rosho v'rubo b'mayim sh'uvim. A person now enters his head, and most of the body now enters into mayim sh'uvim. Mayim sh'uvim, I think we mentioned the other day, is the way it works with a mikvah, just to review, is that there are two types of basic mikvahs a person could go to. Either you could go to a mayan, a spring of some sort, the source of water coming from the ground, perhaps a lake, and ocean, or from rainwater. Now, the difference is when it comes to a spring, so water that moves from a mayan is allowed. It's part of the flow, and you could go even though the waters are moving. When it comes to rainwater, megishamim is only permitted when it falls in that space. But when it's drawn somewhere else, it's moved somewhere else, then it's called mayim shu'uvim, and that water is actually pasal. So the din here, even though it's pasal, it doesn't make a person tameh, it's just pasal. It doesn't work for the mikvah, it doesn't work for tevila. But the Gemara says that they were gozer, haba rosh of ruba b'mayim shu'uvim, my time. Why were they gozer? My time of gozer b'rabban and tumah. So Amar Rav Bibi, Amar Rav Asi, shebetchila, initially what they used to do was, hayu tovlin b'mayim aros m'chunasim, They used to go to the mikvah in the caves where there's rain that would gather together, which had the right size, and all the halachas were good. But the water is disgusting. The water was, you know, sitting in the caves for a while, so it worked for a mikvah, but it wasn't the cleanest water. But you know, and afterwards they take a shower, they take a bath in regular water that was pumped from wherever it pumped from, wherever the however the systems worked. Hischilu v'asam keva. So what happened was they started making this a keva. They made this like a set thing that you go to the mikvah and you go to the shower afterwards. V'gazra leim tuma. So therefore there were gozer tuma. So Gemara wants to understand, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with showering after? Isn't it important to be clean? So my keva, what does it mean keva? That they were koveh, that people would go regularly, permanently. They would go after the mikveh, they go take a shower. What's the concern there? So the Gemara explains that Amar Abaye says, Shehayu omrim lo elu matarin elu ve'elu matarin. Because people began to say that it wasn't the mikveh, it wasn't the meg shamim in the ma'ara that was matar. It was rather a combination. You need the mikveh plus you need the mayim shuvim as well. And that was incorrect. That's not the right thing. It's not true. You don't need to take a shower afterwards, midin tahara. And therefore, that was incorrect. They want people to think that. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Rava, my nafkamina, who cares? Okay, so they're machmir to also take a shower after the fact. But they were also going to the mikveh properly beforehand, so what's the big deal? So they have a mikveh din of tara, and then they have a nikias of going to the shower afterwards. What's the problem? They're at least doing the tefillah as well. There's nothing wrong with that. So the Gemara says, Ella, Amar Rava, Rava says, what was happening was, Shayu Omrim, Lo Eilu Matarin, Ella Eilu Matarin. They started to say that it actually wasn't the Megishamim in the Ma'ara. It wasn't the water in the cave that was Matar. Rather, it was the Mayim Shuvim that was the one that was Matar. And that would be a terrible thing, because eventually, if that was the mindset, eventually what would happen, Chas V'Shalom would be, people would stop going to the mikvah, and they'd only go into a shower thinking that would be the way to properly become Tahar. So then the Gemara says, "V'tahor shenafla arosho v'rubo shlosha lugim." A guy who's tahor, ma'im shuvim. A guy who's tahor. Another gzeir they made was if water of three lug of ma'im shuvim fell onto a person's head and most of the body, he was tameh as well. So my time a gazer b'rabban. Why was that needed to make a gzeira? So dilo ta'aha lo kaimaha. Because had they not made this gzeira, the other gzeira wouldn't work either. So the first gzeira, Habarosha Ruba B'mayim Shuvim, was Dafkon B'yom Tefillah, on the day of the Tefillah. And now this is a case, a regular guy, during the week, a girl during the week, who happened to have water fall on him, or even take a shower willingly, that was Tameh as well, nothing to do with the mikvah. But the Gemara said we had to institute this, because if people knew in general, on a random Wednesday during the week, that if Mayim Shuvim were to go on him, he wouldn't become Tameh, so B'yom Tefillah, it wouldn't work either. People said, wait a second, I went Tuesday, it didn't make me Tameh, so now the day I go to the mikvah, it's going to make me Tameh? So in order to make sure that Gzeirah was remained intact and strong, they had to say no matter when a person enters into a shower or a bath of Shlosha Lugin of Mayim Shuvim, it makes a person Pasul regardless, and therefore that was the need for the Gzeirah. So the Gemara now says, V'sefer. One of the gzeiras they made was that a sefer has the ability to pasul truma. So why is a sefer, what's with a sefer that pasuls truma? So my time a gozer be'rabanon tuma. Why do they gozer tuma? That if the sefer touches the truma, it pasuls it. So Amar Rav Misharsha, shebetchila hayu matznin es ha'ochlin de truma etel sefer tar. Used to be, they would leave their lockers, their svarim were left in the lockers, and they left their truma snacks in the lockers. But Vamru, hai kodesh v'hai kodesh. They said, listen, my svarim, my kisvei kodesh are kodesh, and also my truma is kodesh, so they should be stored together, which is a very nice thing. But Kevin de Kachazu de Akasi Lady Pseida, they saw that it was leading to a Pseida that the svarim were getting ruined. Why were they getting ruined? Because there were mice that were coming to fight to eat rather the truma. And when they now scramble around eating the truma in your locker, they also start scratching and ripping and ruining the kisvei kodesh. So gazu bei rabbanan tuma, they were gozer that if you put the truma next to the sefer Torah or next to the svarim, so then the svarim are going to be mitami the truma in order to make sure you distance them. They didn't want the kisvei kodesh getting ruined, and therefore people have to stop leaving the truma next to the kisvei kodesh. So the Gemara now says, why were they gozer yadayim? Yadayim was one of the other 18 gzeiras, that whenever your hand touches something, there's always tuma. So why? Why is it possible things? They're very busy. Hands always moving, they're touching things, they're getting very, very dirty, and therefore they were gozer on Yadayim. Rashi explains here around 10 lines up, Askaniya is saying, V'nogin bibisaru v'makum tinofes. They touch your flesh, they touch other dirty parts of your body, and therefore, G'nai l'tshuma b'kach v'nim'eses la'ochla kishanogeh ba b'yadayim u'su'avos. It's not the right thing to touch tshuma with your hands that are very dirty, and therefore, there it goes. Rashi quotes another opinion, not because of dirtiness. Rashi quotes Rabbi Seinu Mefarshim, Chashinan Shemanagu Yada Betuma V'nidma. Their concern may be that your hands became actually tummy. And he goes on to ask a question on this, but there are two different reasons why they were Yadayim Askaniyosim, either because they get dirty or because of tuma. And this relates to a larger discussion about washing hands in general when it comes to eating bread, because that was really modeled after the Kohanim to make sure that they were accustomed to washing the hands when they eat Tuma. It's based on these two different reasons, either because of dirtiness or because of Tuma. Okay, and it happens to be in the discussion in the postgim, what would it be if a person's eating a Suda, regular Suda, and his hands get dirty, should you have to wash your hands again? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person's hands gets dirty during the Suda, he needs to wash again, and he actually says a bracha again. Because based on the sugi of Askanios, like Rashi says, that the reason why the Askanios is based on them getting dirty, we don't want people touching Tshuma. So since the motivation of washing hands for bread in general is based on Tshuma, you'd have to say bracha if they get dirty. But according to the Magen Avraham, they says, no, the reason why the hands get dirty Askanios is because of Tshuma. But if your hands just stop get dirty, there's no inin of saying a bracha over the course of the meal. Okay, back inside the Gemara now. So now we just established that the Sefer Torah is Matame Tshuma, and your hands are also Matame Tshuma unless you wash them. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Af Yadayim Habalos Machma Sefer, Poslos Es HaTshuma. Not only that, but let's say your hands were clean, but then your hand goes ahead and touches a Sefer Torah, so that hand now becomes Tame from touching the Sefer, and you could Posel Tshuma. Mishum de Rebbe Parnach, based on Rebbe Parnach's Chiddush. What's his Chiddush? Dam Rebbe Parnach, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Ha'oche Sefer Torah Arum, Nikbar Arum. A person who touches the Sefer Torah naked, without any cloth in between, he directly touches with his fingers, his hands, on the cloth, Nikbar Arum, he's going to be buried naked. It doesn't mean naked without clothing, it means Arum without any mitzvahs. So this is based on the sugi in the end of Maseches Megillah. So Gemara says, Arum Sakadaitach, he's so punished that he doesn't get any mitzvahs for touching the Sefer Torah. So Ella Amar Bizera, Arum below mitzvahs. It means naked without mitzvahs, like I just said. Below mitzvah Sakadaitach, because he touches Sefer Torah, he loses all mitzvahs. Ella Ema, Arum below Osa mitzvah. He loses that mitzvah of Limud Torah. If he learned, and while learning, he was touching the Sefer Torah, he loses that particular Limud he was learning. So the Gemara wants to know, so we see now there are two different levels of the Gzeiras of Sefer Torah. There's one Gzeira that Sefer Torah is Metame the Yadayim, and there's another one that the Sefer Torah that the Stam Yadayim are Metame. So it's Yadayim are Metame in general, and Yadayim are Metame when they touch the Sefer Torah. So Gemara wants to know, hey Garza Beresha, which Gzeira was in place first? Was it that Yadayim in general are Tame? Was that the first Gzeira? Or was it that the hands that touch a cloth was the first gzeira? So ilema hag gazar bereish. If you say that stam yadayim askaniyosein was the first gzeira, so then kevin the hag gazar bereisha hasulamli. So there's no need to make another gzeira that you touch the cloth. Elahach gazar bereisha. First there goes there when your hand touched the cloth, then your hand becomes tamei. But then had the gazar. Then they made a more expansive gzeira that bekulo yadayim, that hands in general are always going to be considered tamei until you wash them. So go back to Amud Aleph for a second. The Tosfos there. Tosos writes, the second Tosos up from the bottom here, a small one-line Tosos there, Ha'ocha is Sefer Torah Arum, the person touches Sefer Torah without any mitpachas, without any cloth in between, the din is Ksas Mashma, the lav dafka Sefer Torah, doesn't mean only a Sefer Torah, the kol kisvei kodesh, tenanim b'meseches adayim, shemetamen es adayim, any kisvei kodesh would be included in this. So, one of the dinim they talk about is brought down in the Ramah, that when a person when it comes to Megillas Esther, it's a shaila. When a person oftentimes has their own cloth in shul, so how do you touch the cloth with your hands? Isn't this a violation of being oches a sefer Torah and based on Tosfos all kisei kodesh be oches arum? So the din is since by a Megillas Esther, it's not so clear whether that's really the same level. The recommendation by the Ramah is that a person should wash his hands first before touching the cloth, before holding the cloth of a Megillah. It's true as well of a mezuzah. A mezuzah as well, the person before touching it, sometimes you have to inspect the mezuzah, so it's only so much you could do. You have to write a Sefer Torah. So certainly there are instances where you have to touch the cloth. But when a person does, in all these instances, a person should make sure to wash his hands. Now it comes up as well that's brought down by the Rama, that when a person leaves the house or enters the house, he should kiss the mezuzah. And, you know, there's something like a pasuk and different things a person could say that asking for shmira. So it's brought down that the reason was very makbid to use like the middle finger and to touch the mezuzah. But Rabbi Kvieger took a little bit of an issue with this because sometimes the cloth wasn't always covered. If the Sefer Torah, rather if the mezuzah is in a case, so then fine, you touch the case. But if it's not in a case and it's completely exposed, which itself might have other problems of being exposed to the elements and getting ruined, but let's say it was exposed, there's a problem of touching the cloth. So Kvieger felt that it would be a problem for people to touch it, especially in light of the fact that there's no real source of touching the mezuzah, so to touch a cloth, which goes against the Gemara, just because of a chumrah, of a nice chabib of a mitzvah, of kissing the mezuzah, he felt was inappropriate. But again, if it is in the cover, it's in the case, then certainly there's no problem, and it would be even recommended, based on this Ramah, that we touch mezuzah, we kiss mezuzah, because you find many, many places throughout halacha, there's a concept to kiss mitzvah. Some people kiss matzahs, and kiss a dal kosos, and kiss a lulav, and kiss a sukkah. There's a concept of showing one's love and endearment towards mitzvahs. Okay, back inside the Gemara now, we are on the top of Yud Dalet Amid Beis. We are three lines down. The Gemara says Tivul Yom. So one of the gezeiros they made was that a person who's a Tivul Yom, he was posel truma. What's a Tivul Yom? A Tivul Yom is a person who went to the mikveh, he did the tefillah that day, Tivul Yom, but he has to wait for Harav Shemesh, he needs to wait for sunset to complete the Tara process. So such a person who's a Tivul Yom, he's posel truma when he touches it. So Gemara says, Tivul Yom deraisehu. That's a deraisa, that's not a din derabanan. It's a pasuk in the Torah, dichsiv, uva shemesh v'tar. That only when the sun sets, is the first daf in Maseches Brachos quotes this pasuk, uva shemesh v'tar. Only when the sun comes down is he tahor. So it's not a gzeira. And the Gemara says, you're right, sami mikan, remove from here, tivul yom. Tivul yom is not one of the 18 gzeiras. Okay, moving on. Va'ochlin shenitmo b'mashkin. So food that came into contact with liquids, those foods are tummy as well. Now, it has to come into contact with liquids that are tummy themselves. So the Gemara explains, Mamash Kmidamai. What's the nature of this liquid that we're talking about? Which type of tumma liquid are we talking about that comes into contact with food that's now metame food on a dirabon level? Elam, if you're telling me, b'mashkim habayim machmas sheretz, if it's referring to liquids that came into contact with a sheretz is an avatuma, and touches the mashkim, so now the mashkim is tameh, deraisinir, that's a din deraisa, that liquid that touches sheretz will be metameh food. Dichsev, it says, v'chol mashta she yishase, any liquid that you drink, referring to the liquid that comes from tameh sheretz, the din is, it's metameh the food. So that's a din deraisa. And let's talk about mashkim habam machmas yadayim. If the hands, we already learned now, yadayim askaniyosheim. So hands are metame on a derabanan level. So now let's say someone's hand touches mashkim, so now that mashkim becomes tame on a derabanan level as well. And if that now in turn touches food, that food will also be tame on a derabanan level. What was the motivation for making such a gezera that such mashkim are metame food? Gezera mishum mashkim habam machmas sheretz. They felt, if my hands touch liquid, and the liquid now are tummy with their bottom, if the liquid were to go ahead and touch the food, and I wouldn't be passing the food, I would get confused and think, oh, just like the liquids from my hands, there's a metame food, so to the liquids from a sheret, there's a metame food either. But that's not true. Mashkim machmas sheretz is metame on a deraisa level. So in order to preserve that din deraisa, they had to make a gzeira, a mashkim habam machmas yadayim are also going to be metame food. Next, the Gemara says, Hakelim shenitmu b'mashkim. Now, if vessels, if utensils became tamei based on liquid, that too was another gezeira. So the Gemara says, Kelim di'itamu b'mashkim demai. So when we're talking about certain vessels becoming tamei from liquids, which types of liquids are we talking about? Ilema b'mashkim dezav, if it's referring to mashkim fluids that come from a zav, such as his saliva or meraglayim. So that's the raisin in him. That on a Torah level, any of these fluids from the zav is tamei. Dichsev v'chi yarok. When the zav spits on a tahor person, or tahor beged, those kalim become tame. And not only rok, but any other bodily fluids of a zav are mitame. So that's a din deraisa that the mashkim de zav are mitame kalim. So ma shabiyat tahor temesi lecha. So whatever, this is just a different din, the Gemara points out, whatever a zav holds, it also becomes tame. Fine. But we see clearly that mashkim de zav are mitame on a deraisa level. It's mitame kalim on a deraisa level. Ella hamashkim habayim machmas sheretz. So liquids that come about from a sheretz, Although we said before, mashkim haba machmas sheretz is metame food on a deraisa level, it's not metame kalim on a deraisa level. But there it goes that even mashkim haba machmas sheretz are metame kalim as well, ugzeira mishim mashkim dezav, as a gzeira, because mashkim dezav are metame kalim on a deraisa level, there it goes are also mashkim the sheretz are metame kalim on a deraisa level. That's important to know as well, that in general, this idea that normally food and liquids, there are really four different groups when it comes to tumah, things that can become tameh. There are certain items that create tumah, which are the avos tumah, tumas meis, sheretz, nevela, and so on. And then there are those that are mekabel tumah, that can become tumah. So there the Mishnah says there are four categories. There's adam, there's begadim. Begadim is clothing, but it also includes kalim. So there's adam, and there's begadim. And then there's ochel amashke, food and drinks. So food and drinks, so, you know, if you think in a very physical way, food and drinks can become tame. They get dirty very easily. So food and drinks are easily tame, but adam and megadim are not tame so easily. It's much harder to get a person or kalim dirty. So therefore, we have many instances that although mashkim the sheretz is able to be metame food on a deraisa level, it's not able to be metame kalim on a deraisa level. So that's why they have to be gozer that mashkim shazavu, mashkim rather, mashkim achma sheretz, are also metame kalim in order to preserve the din of mashkim dezav that are metame kalim on a deraisa level. It's an important chiluk to understand, but again, as we learn more tumah together, hopefully we'll get a better appreciation of all this. Gemara now says, we said before one of the gzeiras was that yadayim are metame because the yadayim askanei osem. They're always busy, so there goes that my hands touch the tumah without washing my hands first, the tumah is not possible. The Gemara says, "V'yadayim tamidei shamai v'hilo gazer." Is it really true? We had said that these different gzeras were established and they were voted on in the Elias Hananiah ben Chizkiah because Beis Shammai had outvoted Beis Hillel. So we see that it was instituted by the tamidei shamai and Hillel. They were the ones who were accredited with such a gzera. So Gemara says, "Not true. Shammai v'hilo gazer. It was Shammai and Hillel themselves that made such a gzera, not their tamidim." The Tani, the Brisa tells us that Yosi ben Yoezer ish tzreda. The Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yushlaim, gazu tuma al eretz ha'amim. They're gozer that anyone who goes into chutz laretz, that they're tamei. Why are they tamei? Because there's every place you go, we don't know where the cemeteries of the kivri akam are, where the kivri goyim are, and therefore any place you step could possibly be a kever. And therefore they're gozer. When you go outside, you're tamei. When you come back into eretz yisrael, you're tamei. Now the reason is there's a din that although by tumas ohel there is no tuma by a goy. But there is tumas maga masa. If a person were to carry a dead body or touch a dead body of a guy, one would be metame. So since we don't know where bones are, where dead people were buried, therefore there was a gzera they made on Eretz Amen, going outside of Eretz Yisrael. Al kli zichuchis, they had a din as well, that glass, even though glass isn't mentioned in the Torah, there goes here that it's mekabel tumah. Shimon ben Shetach tiken ksuba l'isha, he established that woman should get a ksuba, and part of that establishment was that all the achras, all the properties of the husband, there's a lien on the property to ensure she gets a ksuba if need be. And the gaza tuma al kli matachos, there also goes there on certain metals. Now we'll have to see what that is. We're going to have to wait a couple of days when the Gemara explains this din. And shama v'hil, this is why we brought that din here, the brisa, shama v'hil, gaza tuma al yadayim. So we see that shama and hilal were the originators of this gzera on yadayim. It wasn't the tamide shama and the tamide hilal. If you're going to tell me Shammai v'siyata v'hilal siyaso, maybe it means Shammai and his their tamidim, Hillel and his tamidim. Maybe that's what it means. V'hamar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Don't we have a clear statement that Shmona asar davar gazu u'shmona asar nechlaku? There are 18 matters in which they were gozer, and there are 18 matters that they argued about. This is referring to the tamidim of Shammai v'Hillel. But ilo Hillel v'Shammai, they themselves, Hillel and Shammai themselves, lo nechlaku ela b'shloshim makomos. They are only argued in three places. Dama Ravuna b'shloshim makomos nechlaku v'sulo. So our Mishnah is talking about 18 places where they argued. Here it's talking about three places, Shammai and Hillel. So this clearly was not one of the machlokasim where they argued about, so this was being attributed to Tamid Shammai, the Tamid Hillel. But we have another brisa again that says that they were the ones who, Shammai and Hillel themselves were gozer. So what's the origin of such a gzer? So Gemara says, "V'chitem, if you're going to tell me also in whom gazalitlos, maybe the original takana by Shammai and Hillel themselves was that there goes there when you die. But when you die, touch chuma, we don't say you have to burn the chuma. It's litlos. We say it's suffik. It's suffik, and you can't eat it because it might be tame, but you can't burn it because it might not be tame. But also tamidayu and the tamidim came along and they're gazru Lisrof, they said, you know what, let's take it a step further. And there it goes there that if your hands touch Chuma, you should burn the Chuma. But the Gemara says that can't be the case because Vahamar, we have a statement from Ilfa, Yadayim Tchilas Gzeiras on Lisrefa. Whoever and whenever the initial Gzeir was made on Yadayim Askaniosheim, the initial Gzeir was made in such a way whereby when the hands touch it, it was burnt. You had to burn the Chuma. So there were no two stages here. So again, who was the originator of the Gzeir? So Ella Asuv Inu, the Gemara says, really, Asuv initially Shaman Hill came along, they made a Gzeir in Yadayim, their Gzeir, that Yadayim are Askaniosheim. And when one touches Chuma, the Chuma has to be burnt. But it wasn't accepted. So they made a Gzeira, they made an attempt, but it didn't sit. So it fizzled away. Later on, some point in history, the Asu, Tamidayo, their Tamidim came along to make another attempt at making such a Gzeira and Yadayim, the Gazu, the Kiblu Minayo, and then it was accepted. Gemara says, wait a second. So now we understand that Shammai Hillel attempted to, they were unsuccessful. Tamidei Shammai Hillel attempted to, and they were successful. But let's go back many generations earlier. Vakati Shlomo Gazar. Shlomo HaMelech was really the originator of such a gzeira. Damar Yudamar Shmuel Vishash Tikkun Shlomo Eruvin. When he made the din of Eruvin that you can't carry from one rishus to another rishus without there being an Eruv, even though they're both rishus of Yachid, and he also goes into Tiyat Zedayim because Tam Yadayim are Askaniosheim, the Yatzah Sebaskal Amar, the heavenly voice came out and said, Bini, my dear son, Im Chacham Libecha Yismach Libi Gam Ani, the wisdom of your heart, I'm so happy. Chacham Bini Vesamech Libi Vashiva Chorfi Davar. So we see clearly that he was based on this concept. They use the psukim to show that Kadosh Baruch Hu was so happy that he made these gzeiras in response to the making of Erevin and the response of the Tzitzis Adayim. So it's Shlomo HaMelech that was attributed, not the Talmidim of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, Asa Shlomo Gazal HaKadshim. When Shlomo made the gzeira in the Tzitzis Adayim, his original gzeira was only on touching Kadshim, not Chuma. Va'asu inu the gazer aflachum and came along Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. They were gozer not only on Kadshim, but they extended it even to Chuma. So we'll stop here. In Mishnah Sem, we will continue together on Sunday. Maybe we'll do the same thing after Vasikin. I'll take a look at the times. Maybe we'll do 7:10, 7:15. I'll send out a note. Anyone who's not on the Daf Yomi WhatsApp chat, please feel free to reach out to me. I'll add you to it so this way you don't miss any of the updates. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.